Good evening. I'm so excited to be up here today to be able to speak to y'all. I want to give a big thank you to the guys that have helped me. They're my best friends in the world, and I couldn't have done it without them. I'd also like to thank those in charge who are allowing me to speak tonight. It's a big blessing to me. We've been taught on a lot of lessons so far in this side-by-side series. Heavenly wisdom. We've had unity in the church. We've had being together. It's provided a big spiritual gain, I'm sure, in our walk with Christ. And tonight, I don't want you to necessarily focus on my abilities to speak. I want you to focus on God's ability to speak through His Word, because He's a much better speaker than I could ever hope to be. Tonight, we're going to see what God tells us about choosing compassion. And since the beginning, we've been given free will. We've had the opportunity to choose right, to choose wrong, and we're very blessed by that. And as we go throughout this lesson tonight, I want us to examine ourselves to see if what we're doing for God is all that we can be doing tonight and throughout this week. Our study, Lord willing, will be just another reason of why God is so awesome and He's so worthy of our praise and devotion every day. Our text tonight, if you'd like to turn to it, is Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, and we'll begin with verse 30. And whenever I was thinking about compassionate people of the Bible, my first thought was to go to Jesus, as many of you would as well. Because when you think about it, His whole life was based around compassion, wasn't it? But we'll get to that a little bit later. So let's read Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 30. It says, the apostles gathered to Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And He said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew Him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to Him. And Jesus, when He came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So He began to teach them many things. And when the day was far spent, His disciples came to Him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But He answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to Him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But He said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then He commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when He had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, He looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to His disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish He divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Normally, whenever we look at this text, we look at what a great and powerful miracle this was, that they ended up with more than what they had when they started. But tonight, that's not really what I want to focus on tonight. Because there's a thought by Jesus that makes me take pause. It's found in verse 34, our scripture reading. If you will, we'll read it again. It says, and Jesus, when He came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And so He began to teach them many things. See, the reason that Jesus was there in the first place was because He was tired and He needed a rest. He needed a break. Now me, if I was in that situation and I saw all these people coming at me whenever I was tired and needed a break, I would have rolled my eyes and I would have been upset that they were coming to me. I would have then just wanted to go away so that I could have a break because I was so tired. That's why I need to be more like Jesus. Because He didn't see this group as a needy people during His time of rest, but He saw them as a group that had no shepherd. They were sheep without any shepherd. So before we continue, I think it's important that we know what the word compassion means. The dictionary definition is sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings and misfortunes of others. Sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings and the misfortunes of others. Tonight I think there's some excellent examples that Jesus portrays in this scene that I think can help us raise people up. I think it can lift ourselves up so that we can stand better side by side with Jesus, because that's what we're doing in life. First, through Jesus' example, I think we should all see that if Jesus put Himself below others, I think that we need to put others above ourselves. Last Christmas, I could have a great example to give you guys in my life. I saw a man walking along the streets of Freed Hartman, and it was very cold, and he had a jacket on, but it was a very tattered jacket. He didn't have much warmth in that jacket. And so I looked at him, and I thought, this is my opportunity. I'm going to get him a nice jacket, and he's going to be warm for the winter. I got a couple of my friends involved saying, hey, let's get him a jacket. And, you know, to this day, that man still does not have a jacket. I'm going to try again this winter, but I was like the disciples. Whenever I saw a need, I wanted to think about my time and what was going on in my life, and I wanted to let it slide over in my life. I needed to be more like Jesus and act upon my thoughts. Very quickly, I'd like to flip through some scriptures of Jesus when he cared for others, and whenever he put others above himself. And I want us to do a couple things tonight as we read them. I want us to see what the need was. I want us to see how Jesus met that need. So if you will, turn to Mark chapter 9, if you have your Bibles. Mark chapter 9. In this instance, Jesus was again mobbed by a very large crowd, so it would have been a very hectic situation. But in verse 25 of Mark chapter 9, he ended up curing a boy through all of the hectic. It says, when Jesus saw people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. So what was the need? The need was a physical need. And through everything that was going on in Jesus' life, that need was met. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 5. Again, he's helping people. It says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he'd already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? And he would later go on to help that man. See, he saw a man that had a very physical need, and he met that need throughout what was going on in his life. Turn with me to John chapter 8, just a few chapters over. John chapter 8. In this instance, we read of a woman that was brought to Jesus by the scribes and the Pharisees, and according to them, she had been caught in the acts of adultery. And according to their law, they said that she deserved to be stoned. And so they asked Jesus, what do you say about this? What should we do? And he says that he who is without the first sin cast the first stone. And picking up in verse 10, it says, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. This was a pretty powerful moment, and I'm sure that it helped with her spiritual life. See, Jesus not only helped with their physical needs, he also helped with their spiritual needs. Very quickly, one more chapter, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. It says, so he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. This is Jesus. And it says, then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose, and he departed to his house. See, Jesus, we can't cure diseases, and we can't forgive sins. But when we see someone needing spiritual help, we can help them. And when we see people in a physical situation that they need help, we can help them. Because Jesus helped in the physical and the spiritual needs of others. Are we choosing tonight to walk in the life of Christ? Are we choosing to help people, show compassion on them whenever they're in need? Or are we succumbing to our needs in our time? If we're choosing to walk like Jesus, then we're walking side by side with him. And that's the goal in life, to walk side by side with Jesus. Secondly, I see a man who not only had compassion, but then he acted upon his compassion. Jesus' life was all about action, and so should ours. Because it's easy to look at a person, and it's easy to say, man, he's really cold, and he needs a jacket this winter. But as I know, and as we all know, it's a lot harder to act upon our thoughts and upon our intentions. But see, intentions in our life just simply aren't enough. This lesson, I think, the intentions applies to many parts of our life, including our salvation. Many times in our life, we feel like we're further away from God than we want to be. We feel like there's something in our life that we need to throw out. And so we have that intent to get rid of it, but we let the sins of life hold us down, weigh us down, and we never get on to do what we need to do to be closer to God. But through Jesus' example, I think we can see that if we want to be more like Him, then we have to act upon our intentions and get right with God in our lives. Because Jesus' life was about action, our life should be about action as well. Finally, through Jesus' example, I think we can see that the men and women living in the world today are not just a needy group of people that we should shoo away, but they're a group that is a shepherd, that is a flock with no shepherd. I want you to read with me one more time, verse 34 of Mark chapter 6. It says, "And Jesus, when He came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And so He began to teach them many things." After this material that we've read over tonight, I think it's safe to say that we are that group of people in Mark chapter 6. Because without Jesus, we're lost. We are the sheep. He's our shepherd. And without Jesus, we're totally lost in this world. Would you turn with me to John chapter 10? I want us to read a section of the Bible here. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 11. John chapter 10, verse 11. It says, "I am the good shepherd." This is Jesus. "The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Listen to Jesus. "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must also bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, and there will be one shepherd." He's my shepherd, and He's your shepherd. Thank God that we have Jesus to love us, guys. Thank God that we have Jesus that saw us, and He had sympathetic pity and concern for our sufferings and our misfortunes. And so He died to give us a shepherd in life so that we would have a shepherd. Tonight, I'd like to read one more act of compassion. And it's the greatest act of compassion that I think I'll never fully understand, I won't fully appreciate. And tonight as I read it, I want you to think about your life. And I want you to think that through the life you lead this week, through the life that you've been leading this day, whether or not you fully appreciate and understand the love that Jesus really has for you as an individual, the love that Jesus has for me. Would you turn with me to Mark chapter 15? Mark chapter 15. We'll begin with verse 16. It says, "Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' Then they struck him on the head with a reed, and they spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off of him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him." My Jesus and your Jesus. "Then they compelled a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place called Gotha, which is translated place of a skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take." My Jesus and your Jesus. "That was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, 'The King of the Jews.' With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.'" My Jesus, your Jesus, my shepherd and your shepherd was numbered with the transgressors for us. "And those who passed by blasphemed and wagging their heads and saying, 'Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross.' Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe.' Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' which is translated, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" For us. Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, "Look, he's calling for Elijah." Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink, saying, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he breathed his last. I know that through my sin, through the sin that I lead in my life, I don't fully appreciate what Jesus really did for me. I don't appreciate the blood that he shed. I don't appreciate the agony that he went through when I sinned. Because of that sin that crucified my Savior, I need to understand Jesus' compassion. Because he died for you and he died for me so that we could have hope of eternal life in heaven one day. So that we could have a shepherd in life. And in order to fulfill that compassion fully, to understand it fully and appreciate it fully, we need our brothers and sisters in Christ, don't we? We need to have everybody standing side by side against Satan, throwing out sin out of our lives because it isn't worth it. Because Jesus died for us so that we could have hope of eternal life in heaven. We need each other, and we need Jesus. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he breathed his last, so that we could have hope of something greater than we've ever imagined in life. Being with the saints before us, now and after us, in heaven praising God together, so that we could all be together as one, everyone praising God and singing praises for eternity. Don't you want that? I want that. And I want us all to get there together. Tonight, maybe your life isn't right. Maybe you haven't appreciated the compassion of Jesus. If not, I want you to do that tonight. Make it right tonight so that we can all stand side by side against Satan and so that we can go to heaven together to sing and praise our Lord forever. If your life isn't right, would you please make it right tonight as we stand and as we sing the invitation song?